Good evening. I'm not starting yet, Matt. Matt's pulling double duty, the song leader and the AV guy, so he wanted me to stall just a minute. But we're so glad you're with us. Have more than one visitor tonight, and it's our honor to have you here. Thank you for joining us today. So, Matt, I'll wait for your hand signal. Okay, we're good. We're live. So, Andrew talked about, mentioned a few people. Moses, Joseph, Noah, and you said they were true heroes, and certainly they were. I mean, incredible faith, patience, and self-control at times, and just role models for us, and what awesome men. Did anyone here, you don't have to raise your hand, but did you have a hero when you were a child? Childhood, a fictional one? Anybody have a fictional hero? Because I had more than one. If they stood for good and good against evil and they had self-control, and then they were my hero. It didn't matter if it was Superman or Mighty Mouse. And then how about, and by the way, man, back then, you know, all countries change. And America certainly had, but when a few of us were boys, America was all about heroes. Sometimes an advertisement would have to do with a hero, but my mom would play big albums, record albums like this called LPs, and they'd have Bible heroes on there, and then the program, David Crockett, Daniel Boone, even things like My Three Sons, where the father was their hero, and everything was about heroism. And so I certainly had mine. And then did you have any living heroes? Any that, you know, were alive? I mean, I had a few of those too. You know, there were the sports heroes, and I had a couple of those. And then, you know, as I became a Christian, I was very blessed to be baptized by Richard Radke and work in that congregation. And that man was, no man's perfect. Moses wasn't, but that man was my hero. I think we, as small as we were, because of his attitude towards Christ and God and devotion and positiveness, that I think North Seattle put out more than one preacher a year. It was amazing. And a lot of it had to do with everybody there, and some of it had to do with Richard Radke as well. But we're gonna talk about heroes today, but not the big ones, not the big name ones. But we're just gonna talk about being an everyday hero. That's our topic for tonight. Just an everyday hero, a regular person that still is a hero, and we'll talk about what that is. A true hero. You know, they stir our hearts, man. Whether it was Richard Radke in my case, stir our hearts, or the guys on TV, you know, that were good and wholesome. Man, I'd like to be like him when I grew up. Brave and smart and helpful and for justice. And they move our hearts to want to be like them. That's what a hero, in my opinion, is. The word isn't used in the Bible, but it fills the pages with the concept of being a hero. And so what is a hero? Well, here's kind of a blended. The definitions were all over the place, so I took Webster, Merriam-Webster, and some other ones and blended it. And so a hero is a person recognized for acts of courage or nobility of purpose, especially one who has risked or sacrificed their life and is regarded as a role model or ideal. That's okay. Then I put down that when we think of a hero, we think of someone who is full of goodness. Yeah, that person full of goodness. They're trustworthy. They're safe to be around. They have pure motives, and they're known for doing more than what is required. So this morning, I asked a few people, a handful of people. So what do you think, I didn't ask you, Sue, but I'd ask him, what do you think the greatest attribute of a hero is? What do you think the greatest, if there's one single thing about them that makes a person a hero? And I asked some young people and some older people, and I thought most people would say courage, but only one did. And courage helps, but I hope to make the point that it's not even close to being the most important characteristic that one needs to be an everyday hero. So one person said courage, but the rest said service, sacrifice, selflessness. Hearty amen to those. I think that's what we're going to see, what we do see in the scriptures. So some Bible heroes. Now there's Miriam. Miriam was Moses' sister, and she saved his life. She was his older sister. So when he was a baby, what, 3 months old, I think it was, when they couldn't keep him quiet and hidden any longer from the Egyptians, who were looking to kill all the males, Moses' mother put him in a basket and put him in the Nile River in reeds. And of course, dangerous place because full of crocodiles or alligators, one of the two. And Miriam, it says, was standing off and looking. I think this is Exodus chapter 2. But she was watching. And then, lo and behold, we see the hand of God. We call this providence. Not a miracle, but it's the hand of God. Pharaoh's daughter is going to the Nile to bathe or something like that and finds the basket. No coincidence, right? This is the hand of God. But Miriam, she watches, she runs up, hey, would you like me to find a nurse, someone to nurse the baby for you? How old was she? Was she 4? Was she 7 years older than Moses? We don't know for sure, but she was a young girl. You think it took any courage? I mean, so the princess is going to have bodyguards, and she's going to have her maidens, as we know, and she's this person of incredible power. And so I don't know if Miriam asked her mom first, but she might be thinking, I'm afraid. I'm afraid to do this, but she did what was needed to do, and she saved her brother's life and impacted the entire world, impacted the Bible. Moses fills the Bible. And so she was a hero. And then the Samaritan, Luke chapter 10, you know, the guy gets beat up, almost dead, left half dead, naked, wounded, bleeding, and a priest comes by and just walks down this side of the road. The Levite, they ignore him. But the Samaritan, and there was hatred between most Samaritans and Jews, he's the one that saw the man, regardless of race, because he couldn't know. The man was naked. At least he couldn't know until he got close and took compassion, saved the man's life. That's a big-time hero. It was real risk there because the robbers may have been just around the corner waiting for another victim, and then he paid out a lot of money to help him. So big-time hero, saved someone's life. Then there's a bigger-time hero, Priscilla and Aquila. They're in Acts 18 and other places, and so there's this eloquent man named Apollos that was zealous and preaching about Jesus, but didn't quite have it right. He was only acquainted with what they said was accurate, but he only knew about John's baptism. Aquila and Priscilla talked to him, and it says they teach him more accurately. We know that Apollos converted people, probably the 12 men we read about, 12 disciples we read about in Acts 19, because they were disciples, followers of Jesus, but they only knew about John's baptism, probably converts of Apollos. Anyway, so these two, how scary was that? I mean, Apollos is eloquent and has a huge crowd, and they decided to, I don't know, but they did what was right. And they didn't save someone's life, they helped save souls. So they were heroes, Priscilla and Aquila. So one of the points tonight, really a main theme, is going to be that it's simple things, small things that reveal true heroes, that reveal everyday heroes. Because, Don, you and I may not have much of an opportunity to save someone's life, to jump in a river or push them out of the way of a car. That doesn't happen real often. But we and all of us here have opportunity to be everyday heroes every day. If we're dealing with other people, we have the opportunity. So the small things reveal true heroes. Here's an example. So Acts 9, you know about Tabitha, who was also called Dorcas, and beginning in verse 36. Now in Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, Dorcas. This woman was abounding, overflowing with deeds of kindness and charity, which she continually did. I don't imagine that took a lot of courage. It took a lot of sacrifice, a lot of caring. But anyway, she was abounding in these things, which she continually did. Whoa, you know, as you read the words and slow down and look at each one of them, you go, this is some woman right here. This is a real everyday hero. And it happened at the time that she fell sick and died. And when they had washed her body, they laid it in an upper room. We're going to skip verse 38, get to 39. So Peter, they sent for Peter, who was close by. So Peter arose and went with them. And when he arrived, they brought him into the upper room, and all the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing all the tunics and the garments that Dorcas used to make while she was with them. What stood out? Wasn't it courage? Wasn't it she went after Roman soldiers with this? It was all the time, the thing that stood out that they told Peter about, she really cares about us. This woman, she's had such a major impact on our congregation and helping people. And that's what stood out, kindness and goodness. And that's a hero. That's a hero that anybody can choose to be. Her name was Tabitha. Probably always, I'm assuming it since she was continually doing these things, she was abounding in good works. I'm assuming that she was probably on the lookout, probably looking for opportunities. You know, who needs a hand? Who needs encouragement? Who needs something? And I think to be the way she was, she must have been on the lookout all the time. So can you think of any children in the Bible who were heroes? Now, we mentioned Miriam, so you don't get to count her, and you don't have to raise your hand, but in your mind, can you think of other children that were heroes in the Bible? And so one that comes to mind, see what order I have them in here, was Paul's nephew in Acts 23:18. We don't even know his name. But you know, the Jews tried to kill Paul in a mob because he was preaching the gospel, and the Romans rescued him anyway. So at this point, the Jews are saying to Claudius Lysias, the Roman commander, bring him back. We'd like to talk to him some more, but I think, if I remember correctly, there were 40 men who told the chief priests, we won't eat or taste a thing until we assassinate Paul. So you tell the Romans, we want to see Paul. You want to see Paul again, we'll lie in wait and we will kill the scumbag. One of the greatest men that we know of in the New Testament, but we'll kill him, was the idea. And this boy, unnamed, tells the Romans, they take him to Claudius Lysias. And by the way, we don't know how old he was, but it calls him a young man, if you're reading, if you have that open, young man. But we see that same word, paideion, that he's called a young man. And we see that the Roman commander took him by the hand. So let's say that that Morgan had something to talk to me in private about. I forget, are you 17 now or something like that? Yeah. Yeah, okay, 17. I'm not going to take him by the hand, you know what I'm saying? This word young man is also used when Eutychus fell out of the window. And it says the young man fell out of the window, calls him a young man, but three verses later in Acts 20, around verse 12, it says, and he made the boy come alive. So this nephew was young. Who knows, 8, 13, but a young man and a hero. He saved the life of Paul. There's one more, the little girl in 2 Kings chapter 5, again, unnamed, but she saves Naaman's life because he had leprosy, which killed people. But he also was killing and raiding in Israel, an enemy of Israel. And she, with the help of Elisha the prophet, saves his soul. He becomes a believer, and God is pleased with him, if you read 2 Kings chapter 5. And not only save his soul, but lives of the Israelites are saved, because obviously, you can read about him, he's real grateful. He probably didn't raid Israel anymore. So here's another hero that all she did was say to, she was kidnapped, stolen from her parents, and still she cared about people. This is a true hero. She told her mistress, married to Naaman, the commander, the general, she said, if my master only knew, was only in Israel, could the prophet there could heal him? Simple words, but she cared. She was a hero. And by the way, I know language is changing because I looked it up. And some years ago, males were heroes, women were heroines. Nowadays, it looks like they're using the word interchangeably. I'm not ignorant, I'm aware of that, and I'm choosing the simple way and just saying hero for men or women. And you can put an E on the end and an S if it's heroes, or you don't have to. It's a mess, but you get the idea, right? That these people, that they're pleasing to God and they have an impact on Christians and non-Christians as well. So, can you think of any children at Sumner who are heroes, everyday heroes? Because the more I thought about it, the more I came up with. And our congregation has a high percentage. Maybe they all are, I don't know, but I interact with some. So, you know, I told Cyrus I was going to talk about it in tonight's sermon. So Cyrus and his brother Victor, they're heroes to me. They could be outside playing tag and running and, you know, and all that kind of thing. But they'll come up to me and say, you know, that was interesting what you said about so-and-so in your sermon. They'll talk about the sermon. And, you know, that moves the heart of a preacher. Amen. To say, wow, you paid attention and you actually got something from the lesson. That encourages the preacher. And then you've got Cora, who helps take care of her two brothers. She's a hero to me. And then you've got Everly, who's not here tonight, but she'll come up and talk to me about the lesson. And there's a bunch more. I don't know if Caden and Stephanie are here tonight. I don't see them, but they'll also engage with an old geezer like myself. And they came to our house when we were moving out to do either the move or the remodel, and they worked. And then so did all your children, Samuel, all of them, just, and lots of kids. And I was just so impressed. Instead of breaking windows and running around and throwing water balloons in the backyard, all the kids that I remember seeing at our house, they were heroes. They were helping and making a difference and lifting spirits and setting an example. And we just have so many. Riley and Carter, by the way. Have you noticed that sometimes, and I don't know how old they are, but they're pretty young. I don't know if Riley's 10 or whatever, but they're the doormen sometimes. They stand at the front door and open it for people that are feeble, you know, and that's an everyday hero. They don't have to do that. And I'm going to pass this on to you, since they're not here. If you notice them, if you haven't, and you probably have, because many of you are my heroes as well, but if you haven't said anything yet, go anyway. Praise them for doing such a thoughtful act as that. But we have a lot of heroes, and I know there are many more that I haven't mentioned, but I just haven't spend as much time with some of the young people as I have others. But we just have a lot of kids that are making a difference and contributing. So I have a friend in the congregation who, he's a brother in Christ, and he's unable to serve the way he used to. I don't know if he's watching tonight or not. He watches most of the online stuff. But it makes him sad that he can't participate the way he did most of his life. But I will tell you that he's still my hero in a very significant way, specific ways. This man shares his wisdom with me, and he has a lot of it. He encourages me in a big way, very big way. He makes a point to do that, and it means something. He's a true hero in every sense of the word that I can think of, this man. And we have a lot of heroes in the congregation. I have several. My wife is one of my heroes. Just an incredible, incredible woman. We have many more. I'm grateful. Why would I preach about it then? Well, in a book, I think it's 1 Thessalonians, maybe 2nd, but it says, Paul praises them and he says, excel still more. Keep it up, but do more. And so that's part of the message tonight. Keep it up. You're my heroes. Do more. So small acts of kindness kind of amazing me as I put this together. I mean, we all know the verse I'm going to share, but it's the small acts of kindness that determine our eternal destination. That's kind of when I put it in those words, I go, whoa, that's significant. But here we are in Matthew 25, and Jesus is talking, and he says, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Most of those probably don't take courage. Even visiting in prison probably doesn't take courage. But it sure is inconvenient. I don't know when you visited somebody in prison back then, but, you know, I was involved in prison ministry for a while. And if you come and you visit someone that's in prison, they have little rooms. And so they come out of the general prison population. They go in this little bulletproof glass cage, and you've got phones. And you talk to each other over the phone and limited time. And not really scary. Not to me, but back then, the filth alone, the rats and the lice and the inconvenience and probably the interruption of the other prison. I mean, yeah, at times, great courage is needed to be a hero, but more the time, great sacrifice to visit people like this and just people that need our love and our help. So he said, and you came to me. He continues, then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry or feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in or naked and clothe you? And you know the rest, but we're going to read it anyway. When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? The king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. Small things. And yet, Jesus, he will say to those, so he says, come into the kingdom. You know, he welcomed them, praised them. But then to the others, he says, those on the left, depart from me, the cursed ones, into eternal fire which have been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in, naked, and you did not clothe me, sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Did you notice? And so he says, they're a curse, and they're going to go to where the place is prepared for Satan and his angels. Did you notice? He didn't say any of them were liars or thieves. They just didn't do the little things. They weren't thoughtful. They weren't everyday heroes, and although I've known about this for a long time, read it many, many times. You have too. it just kind of became profound to me as I was studying what it means in the Bible to be significant to God, to be an everyday hero. And it's the thoughtful things, the little things. Jesus is looking for heroes. And being a hero to others is being a hero for Jesus. I think that's pretty clear. So who needs a hero? Well, everybody. I do, and I have them. Elders do. Preachers, wives, husbands. This congregation needs heroes, not just for our sake, but we need that. But to please God and to love those people that come to us, that are looking for a place of worship. We need people like that, and we have them. I've said it before. I'll probably say it 6 more times this year. But I've just heard such wonderful things from some of our visitors, Jamie and John. Still 6. You heard it too, Bill. We were together in their home. And they said, the first day we visited, there were so many people talking that we couldn't get out the door. And he has excellent English, but that's how he said it. We couldn't get out the door. And I said, it filled me, it thrilled me with joy to be a member here, because they felt loved by everyday heroes. We all need a hero. And of course, we have the ultimate hero, Jesus, and his disciples are to be like him and to be heroes as well. So you can be a hero to everybody around you, children, nephews, neighbors, husbands and wives, parents, anybody we're in contact with, we can be heroes. So here's the conclusion. I thought I would write it out and read it. It says, Christians who might feel as if their best years are behind them, I've met some. I'm not saying here, maybe one, but I've met them over time. Now I'm old and I can't get around very well. And what good am I now? I've heard people say that. Christians, good Christians say that. Who feel as if the best years behind them have an effective way to live every moment to the fullest. God calls us through his word, equips us to become heroes to our wives, sons, daughters, friends, fellow Christians, the heroes that they need us to be. So by the grace of God, we learn how to start from empty when we first became a Christian, and transform ourselves by his grace into a person who is thriving with purpose, regardless if we're in a wheelchair or active in high-level sports, a person who's thriving with purpose and joy and passing it on. So if you're not already, and I think most of you are, start today and be an everyday hero. That's our lesson. Thank you so much. This time, we're going to have our song of invitation. If you have a spiritual need, we'd like to help. So please stand while we sing the song of invitation, number 301.